Patissasamuppada, Dependent Origination, number 11. Tanna Pichaya Upadana. Because of craving as condition, grasping arises. This is the ninth link of the dependent origination. So, craving and grasping. In the last talk, we have discussed extensively regarding craving, tanha. So, we'll discuss what upadana is. Upadana. Commonly used translated word is grasping. Upadana is a combination of two words. One is upa and another one is adana. When you combine the two, become upadana. Upa signify the intensity or intensely. That's what it signifies. Adana means taking. Okay. So, taking with intensity. Upadana. You can say that. Or you can say grasping. Holding firmly, grabbing, clinging, strong attachment. Those are the translated words for upadana. Literally, taking it intensely, which means grabbing. Holding firmly, which means you don't let it go. Grasping, tight fist, clinging, is attached. Not simply attached, upadana is strongly attached, strong attachment. So that's what upadana is. So there are two words, tanha, craving, and upadana, grasping. Craving and grasping. But both of them, both factors, are actually loba. You have heard the word loba quite often. Loba, literally translated as greed. Greed. Or wanting, desire, attachment, loba, one of the mental defilements. So, craving tanha is loba, greed. Grasping upadana is loba, greed. So they both fall under the heading of loba, according to Abhidhamma. So what's the different? The different is they belongs to the different time, okay, with different intensity. What is different time? Time is always whenever an object, whenever an object strikes the object, strike the sense space along with the consciousness, mental contact is formed. At that time, feeling arises. And then from that craving arises. That's a sequence. So different time is whenever there is a contact after the feeling, first and foremost, craving tanha always arises first. And then it grows stronger and stronger and stronger. And when it becomes strong, it becomes grasping. So craving is before, grasping is after. Or you can say craving is the forerunner of grasping. And craving has a weak attachment, a weaker attachment. Grasping follows the craving and have a stronger attachment or strong attachment. So that's a difference between the two. In the two subsequent time periods and the weak and strong intensity. There are four kinds of grasping. I'll just first of all say the pearly word and go through each one explaining in English. Four kinds of grasping. One is in Pali, Kamupadana. Two, Deiti Upadana. Three, Silabata Upadana. And then number four, Atawada Upadana. Four of them. So let's go one by one. The first one is called Kamupadana. It's a craving or weak attachment. Okay. Having craving or weak attachment to the sense objects. Grows stronger and grabs the object. And that is called Kamupadana. Translated simply, grasping for sense object. Kamupadana. So the key point is the object is sense. Physical sense objects are the objects. And it is a strong attachment, grasping. So when one faces or come in contact with a pleasant and desirable sense object, first of all, it develops a weak attachment, right away, weak attachment. And then it grows into a strong attachment. Weak attachment, craving, strong attachment, grasping. So, at that point, once you grasp an object, at that point, one cannot let go of the sense object. The sense objects cling to it, you hold it firmly, and you really grasp it very tightly. There are two categories of desirable objects. Two categories of desirable object. One is inherently desirable. Its nature, it's desirable. Such as rose. Pretty, beautiful, and sweet scented smell. It is inherently desirable. Silk. Anybody who touch silk material You like the touch. It is a desirable property. It is inherently desirable. So that is one kind of desirable object. And another one is where one thinks, or when what you think, or you take it as a desirable object. When one thinks it's a desirable object, or when you think it is a desirable object, it may be inherently desirable or not, but you decide it. Your taste, your attitude, your preference, your choice. That is the another kind of desirable object. So, example is some objects may be desirable to some people, but the same object may not be desirable to other people. Example would be, let's say, blue cheese. Some people hate it, can't take it, can't even go near to it. Some people love it. That's a personal choice, personal preference. Or chili pepper. Some people, no, terrible. Some people, they just love that chili pepper to eat. That's your personal choice. You think or you take it as a desirable object. It may not be to other people's. So, different people have different level of attachment or repulsiveness to the same object because of their personal taste or personal attitude towards it. So there are two categories. One which is inherently desirable, one is what you believe or what you take it as desirable. And under each category, there are five kinds of desirable sense object. Five kinds of desirable sense object. What are they? You know it. It's a visible form, sound, smell, taste. Taste, under taste, there are two types. One is the food, the flavor of the food, the taste that you can experience on your tongue. Another thing is the personal taste. Okay. Taste in style, taste in clothing, taste in manners, your personal taste, not the food. It's two types. And of course, touch sensation. Those are the five. Each category have five. So they are altogether 10. So these objects, at the moment of mental contact and feeling, passa and vedana, give rise to craving. At the moment of contact, the first thing that comes out is craving, which is weak attachment. And then later, right away, or maybe quite a few times later, it develops into grasping, upadana. I'll keep on adding the Pali word so that one become familiar with it. Grasping, upadana. Now, I'll give you a few explanation or presentation what craving and what grasping is, what tanha and upadana is, by various translator authors. Some call it craving is a weak lobha and grasping is a strong lobha. That's one way of explaining. Lobha, greed, wants, desire, attachment. And another way of presenting is attachment to an object before you got it. The attachment you have before you got it, that is craving. And the attachment you have it after you get it, that is grasping. Some people explain that way. And at the same time, other people put this way. Craving is opposite to the fewness of wants. Fewness of wants. And craving is totally opposite. Not few. It is multiple, plenty of wants and desire. And grasping. Grasping is opposite to contentment. Basically, grasping is non-contentment. You are not in the state of content. And here's another way of explaining what tanha and upadana is. Okay? Craving tanha. It's the suffering of searching for an object. You don't have it, you are still searching. When you search, the suffering that associated with tanha. And grasping is suffering of protecting the object. Suffering of protecting the object. Along with it, this suffering and contentment and wants related to it, I'll tell you a story. Okay. Was once in a city. Okay, city always have all different levels of poverty and richness. There was an old beggar begging near the edge of the town, hoping and waiting that people will give them a nickel or a dime or a quarter, begging. And there was a millionaire in the town. He always go that way, day in and day out, pass across that place to and fro to his work. And he saw that, and then he really feel sorry for him, the pity for him. So old, nothing, no material, not enough food to eat. So one day, from his heart, the feeling comes out. I'll just take it, just for us to understand. He pulled out a $1,000 bill and gave it to him. Here it is, you're so poor, this is my contribution. So the old man was so happy. You know, he doesn't know what to do with a $1,000 bill. Amen. So at night, when he goes there, he just stay near there, near in a little broken down hut. When some people have deserted, he slept under there. And when he was about to sleep, he remembered his $1,000 bill. And just starting to guess, where should I keep it? So under my head, in my hand, in the clothing, where, or somewhere dig it up and put it. He just worry about it. He's worried that somebody will come and steal it. Suffering comes in because he is attached to that money. He owns it, so he attached it. He has it. He's attached. He holds it tightly. He can't sleep the whole night. He can't sleep. Whenever he sort of falls asleep, he just woke up and, oh, is my money there? And so on. One day passed. The next day, but the next night, he can't sleep. And on the third day, and the same time, that millionaire passed by and he just called out to the millionaire, hey, please, come here. The millionaire is curious, come in. You need more money? And he said, no. Here's your $1,000 you give me. Take it back and give back my happiness. See, give back my happiness. He gave it away. He let it go. He doesn't grasp it anymore. He doesn't crave it anymore. And he is content with whatever he has before. And that contentment gave him happiness. So that story explains many factors and these definitions. Fewness of wants, contentment, desire, anxiety, suffering, and so on. Okay. These are the different presentation or different way of explaining what craving, tanha, is and what grasping, upadana, is. So this craving and grasping is directly related to sense object, okay, things and beings. Sense object, attachment to sense objects, kamupadana. So that's one kind of grasping. Second kind of grasping is ditti upadana. Ditti upadana. We just said we can get strongly attached, to all things and to all beings. But not only to things and beings, not only to sense objects, we can also get attached to wrong views. Wrong views, of course, from the Buddhist point of view. I like to qualify it. Because just simply wrong view is too wide. Wrong view from the Buddhist point of view. One can get attached to a view. Ditti upadana. Ditti, the first word, strictly speaking, is a point of view. Just ditti by itself, precisely, is a point of view. And only if you say miccha ditti, miccha is wrong, it becomes wrong view. Miccha ditti. But in the common usage, both in verbally as well as in the literature, ditti is used and accepted as wrong view. So whenever one say ditti, we understand as wrong view, even though the proper word is miccha ditti. So dt is, let's say, it's a wrong view. And one can grasp, one can hold firmly on a wrong viewpoint. On a wrong viewpoint, wrong point of view. Once one grasps, get hold firmly or believe in that wrong view, that wrong view will never leave you. Or one will never leave that wrong view. That is why wrong view is a object of grasping. The view itself become an object, not a sense object, simply an idea. But you can grasp, you can get strongly attached to a view. So we said wrong view, and we say it's from the Buddhist point of view. So I will give you a few what the Buddhists say wrong view is. The most common and simple one is not believing in karma vipaka, cause and effect. Karma and is resultant. Vipaka is resultant. Not believe in the karma and its resultant. That's a wrong view if you don't believe it. Also, like giving, offering, let's say generosity, those kind of acts do not produce any beneficial result, any good result. That's a wrong view. Another one is having attendance and service and respect to your parents does not bring any good result. Or not believing in another existence. Or you can say another world. Or you can say rebirth. Not believing in that is a wrong view. Not believing in the law of causality, cause and effect, cause and effect, cause and effect. That is the Deity Upadana wrong view. These are some example of what Deity Upadana, grasping on wrong view, is. So that's the second type of grasping, upadana. The third type in Pali, it sounds like this: silapada upadana. Silapada upadana. So we already know upadana is grasping. What is silapada? It's a combination of two words. One is sila. Another one is pata or wata. Two. And sila here in this silapada context, under this context. Sila is an action that one habitually does. Sila is an action that one habitually does. It is not morality or precept, the way we usually know. Sila is an action that one habitually does. and vata, pata or vata. It's practicing what one has undertaken. Practicing what one has undertaken. Sila pata. So, taking precepts, we sit down in a shrine room and we take 5 precepts, 8 precepts, 10 precepts, and so on. Taking precepts, reciting. That taking precept is sila. Simply taking precept. And then practicing it, living with it, conforming with it, is vata. So in a strictest sense, you, taking is one thing, sila, and then practicing it, what you have undertaking is another thing, vata, sila, vata. But in our daily usage for practicality or for practical purpose, these two parts, taking it and practicing it, are taken as one. So when you say we take sila, we take precept, that means we actually take it and also we live and we practice it. Just simply one word, sila. So with this, tell you a story. And the story, it's actually happened at the time of Buddha. At the time of Buddha, there are two laymen who are, one name is called Punya. Punya, and then another one is Sarena. Senia. Punya or Senia, two guys. And these two guys are, they are practicing under a teacher. Under a teacher. Of course, the teacher has to always guide and give instruction. Teacher. And what they are practicing is this Punya. Punya is, his teacher told them, if you live like a cow, eat like a cow, sleep like a cow, and if you behave in entirety as a cow, okay, you will be liberated. You'll become free from all suffering. For liberation. Because of that, he just eat, sleep, live like a cow. And Sarena, sorry, Senia. Senia is the same thing, like a dog. Behaves like a dog, sleep like a dog, eat like a dog, run like a dog, bark like a dog. Because his teacher told him this will be give liberation from all suffering. They live. They practice. They live. They listen to their teacher. And of course, around that time, the Buddha's fame and name is widespread. So they heard about this Buddha, and maybe we'll go and check with this Buddha just to have a second opinion to confirm what we are doing. So one day they met Buddha, and Punya say, my friend Senia, he eats like a dog, sleeps like a dog, and so on, because that will bring him liberation. Is that right, Buddha? Buddha didn't answer. And he asked for the second time. Buddha didn't answer. And he asked again for the third time. And the third time he said, I have been avoiding to answer it, but as you insist, I will answer. If you live like a dog, sleep like a dog, eat like a dog, bark like a dog, everything like a dog in entirety, totally. When you die, you'll be reborn as a dog because you are adopting the dog mentality, mental state. So That's why you will have a next life as a dog with full dog mentality. But if you practice only halfway, not fully, when you die you will be reborn as an animal or in some minor hells. That's the answer. And oh, okay, this is the dog. So Senia, who lives like a dog, he got his answer because the friend asked. So he thought he would ask for his friend. Okay, my friend Punya lives like a cow, sleep like a cow, eat like a cow. He will be liberated. And the same thing, the Buddha asked, answer. If you on entirety behaves like a cow, you will be reborn as a cow. If not in entirety, you will be reborn as an animal or in hell. And upon hearing that, they cried, we have been misled by our teacher. And then of course they asked for the right way to practice. So in here is, that is silabada. Silabada. You practice something that is wrong, not correct. You practice something believing that practice will bring you liberation from all form of suffering. That's what silapata means. Upadana is grasping. When you grasp onto a certain type of this practice, wrong practice, that's called silapata upadana. So, in here, just to give an example, we are here is the case that come out, this silapata comes from living like cow and dog. I don't think much of us are entirely living, but there are some people, in some way they live in that kind of a animalistic nature. Keep that in mind. Not only this certain thing, if you pray and pray and pray, pray and wish, do chanting, you chant and chant endlessly, hours on end, chanting, wishing, and you do, let's say, animal sacrifices. And if you do those things believing that it will liberate you from all four forms of suffering, that is silapada, upadana, grasping on the wrong practice. Okay. In other words, any practice, if I have to put it in a different way, any practice which does not constitute eightfold path, eight constituents. Practice anything believing that it will give you liberation, then that is silapada upadana, grasping on the wrong practice. Even practicing morality, even practicing samatha meditation, if you practice those things with a belief that it will give you total liberation or enlightenment, then those become silapada, grasping on the wrong practice. Yes, Buddha taught us to practice sila precepts, to practice samatha, concentration, meditation. Buddha taught us, but not as a tool for liberation. He taught us to be used as a base or a support to practice vipassana, insight meditation, to use as a base or a support for vipassana meditation. So understanding is very important. So if one practice, any practice that doesn't constitute eightfold path, believing that it will give you liberation from all form of suffering, then that practice, whatever may be, is you are practiced with the wrong view, or it's called the practice of wrong view, silapada upadana. Okay, so there are three kinds of grasping, upadana. We finished. One is senses, second one is wrong view, third one is wrong practice. And the fourth and final one is called attawada, upadana. Okay. Clinging to a belief of everlasting soul. Clinging to a belief of everlasting soul. Or even identifying the five aggregates. Five aggregates. Form, feeling, perception, mental formation, and consciousness. Those five are called five aggregates of clinging. And if you identify these five aggregates as soul, then that is the wrong view of soul. If you grasp that five aggregates, believing that it's a soul, that's a wrong view. So according to Abhidharma, wrong view is always associated with lobha, greed, want, desire, attachment. Wrong view, you believe in it. Why? Because you want it, you desire it. Lobha. It's always associated with lobha, any kind of wrong view. So, this view, attawada, soul, concept of soul, has been with us for countless past life. We can't even count all the past life we have. We live with that attawada, soul, the view of soul, indestructible, eternal soul. And also we'll be living with it for a countless number of lives in the future as well. If we don't practice the way Buddha has guided us. And that is the toughest wrong view. This soul view is the toughest wrong view we will ever face. So to wrap it up, there are four kinds of grasping. The first one is attachment to sense objects. And the latter three is attachment to wrong views and practice. And all these graspings are conditioned by craving, tanha. In other words, started with a little weak attachment, craving, and grows into strong attachment, grasping. May all of you be able to understand craving, tanha, and grasping, upadana, and may you be able to overcome these clinging and grasping. as soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Thank you very much.